You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
Coming up on 305 on a chilly Tuesday in Eastern Iowa, it is the Gym Class here from the Eakin Nutrition Studios. Eakin Nutrition's down in Coralville at the Iowa River Landing. And big thanks to them for their sponsorship of our studio here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes joining me coming up in a moment. Andrew on the other side of the glass here today. Congratulations on getting out. Good job by you.
Yeah, finally. It's been 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
Yeah. You probably didn't know. I got COVID.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, and so I had to be out for about 2 weeks because they're not going to want me around anybody here. Because what do? We talk and breathe all over each other in the microphones and equipment.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
We talk. I mean, we don't breathe on each other. We talk.
No, but we breathe on the equipment with the microphones at least.
Well, I didn't get that in the newsletter, so I'm glad you're okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're okay. Good to have you back, though.
Yeah.
Good to have you back and ready to go here today. We got a great show. We got a lot to discuss. Iowa basketball, Iowa football news. No, not an offensive coordinator yet. I anticipate that coming up soon, but we do have some coaching news today to talk about. One of those moves we did already know, but a couple other new moves today, and we will discuss that. Talk about Fran McCaffrey's record-setting win last night. Look ahead to Iowa State and BYU from the Marriott Center in Provo tonight. And hopefully talk some high school wrestling. Tony Hager is going to join us in the back half of the program from iowawrestle.com and catch up on high school wrestling. 319-366-1600. That is a text line available to you. Again, that is 319-366-1600 as we come your way here on a chilly, chilly Tuesday here in Eastern Iowa. Bring in Mark Dukes here from the back porch, hopefully heated. Very well. I can guarantee you, Mark, you're warmer than the 60-degree temperature in the Eakin Nutrition Studios right now in the southwest side. How are you doing?
Doing good, Scott. Good afternoon to you and Andrew and everyone out there. And it's all relative, I suppose. You could be outside doing the show.
Could be. I would rather not. And if anybody is outside, I hope you're all bundled up there. Speaking of outside, starting things off with what could have been a very serious situation. In fact, it is for a handful of fans from last Saturday night's game at Arrowhead. The Chiefs with the win over the Miami Dolphins. It sounds like 15 people were hospitalized with hypothermia from the game. No laughing matter, certainly. When you talk about how cold it was, minus 30, the wind chill, fourth coldest game ever in National Football League playoff history with the Chiefs and the Miami Dolphins. And it sounds like there are no life-threatening situations, thank goodness. But, every time I read that, I think of the two or three people that had their shirts off at the game on Saturday night. Not a smart move.
Well, not really. I mean, no.
And that's my fan base.
I know a handful of people that did go to the Kansas City game, and including our friend Jamie and her husband Jared from out at Emo's Hideaway. Apparently, they have come back safe and sound and not among those unfortunate people that had some issues related to the weather. I'm not surprised.
No. No, it's just, it's tough. This is tough weather. It's brutal. Most of the country right now just in brutal situation. So layer up, if you will. And if you don't have to go outside, don't go outside. 319-366-1600, the text line available to you. If you'd like to pick up the phone and give us a call and talk to Andrew, that is also available to you at 319-366-1600. Let's get to the football news, Mark, from Iowa City. When I must admit, and I was talking with Spencer before the show got started, and he also said, as soon as he saw an email come down the line from Matt Weitzel down in Iowa City, that was titled 2024 Coaching Changes, a red light almost went off in everybody's brain. But no, it is not the coaching change that everybody is looking forward to. By the way, on that subject, take Paul Christ's name out of the running for Iowa offensive coordinator. He said last night he is going to stay on with the Texas Longhorns in some capacity. Last year he was the he was a consultant, offensive consultant for the Texas Longhorns. So Paul Christ is not going to be the Iowa offensive coordinator. But there was a little bit of news out of Iowa City today, and speculation beginning, Mark, because Iowa has named an assistant head football coach for the Hawkeye football program, a first under head coach Kirk Ferentz, and it is assistant defensive coordinator and linebackers coach Seth Wallace. Is he the coach in waiting? Question mark.
It doesn't mean anything to me. I think it's a recognition of the job Wallace has done under Phil Parker and coaching the linebackers and filling a variety of roles in his tenure at Iowa. He got his start at Coe College as an assistant coach and has been an excellent coach for the Hawkeyes. And with it comes a raise from $755,000 to $1 million annually. And he'll continue as in his defensive capacity. Also, Phil Parker, his contract was amended. His base salary is $1.9 million annually. I'd say well-deserved. And the person we had already heard about, the contract of Kelton Copeland as wide receivers coach, was not renewed. Well, he was fired, okay? He was fired.
But we wish him well. Kirk Ferentz and the Iowa football program wishes Coach Copeland well in his future endeavors. Nothing new right there. What do you think? Are you reading into this between the lines, folks? 319-366-1600. Does this mean Seth Wallace? His name's going to come up, no doubt, Mark, when Kirk Ferentz decides to step down as the Iowa football coach. I don't think there's any doubt about that. He's going to be one of the leading contenders anyway, and maybe along with LeVar Woods, I would say they would be 1A and 1B right now as far as current assistant coaches that could step in to the head role. But this definitely gives maybe a leg up. I don't know as far as Seth Wallace is concerned.
I would agree with you on those two guys, Wallace and Woods. I wouldn't get too caught up in the coaching title, although it's significant. Iowa's never had an assistant head coach under Kirk Ferentz previously, so there is that. And, you know, what it means for the future, we're not kicking Kirk out the door, are we?
No.
Okay, all right. If and when, right?
If and when, at the end of the current contract in a few years down the road, or if Kirk decides, you know what, this was a great year and a great career, and why not go out riding off into the sunset on top after another double-digit victory season? I mean, we don't know at this point what Kirk Ferentz is thinking. We don't know what Kirk Ferentz is thinking as far as the offensive coordinator job is concerned, let alone what he is thinking 4 years or 5 years into the future.
Well, I'm with you and Spencer. When that came into my inbox from Matt Weitzel of the University of Iowa, that's the first thing I thought of. Well, Iowa's got a new offensive coordinator. Paul Christ has decided to remain at Texas and cross him off the list, and Iowa's got a new offensive coordinator. Now, if you remember, Kirk Ferentz said he anticipated having an offensive coordinator selected and named by the third week of January. It is Tuesday of the third week of January. So don't get too up in arms that this hasn't happened yet, and the, or that Kirk's past the deadline, and this, that, and the other. It'll come, but I had the same reaction when I saw my inbox.
Would you think the would you put your chips on 4:35 Friday afternoon?
Well, it'll be after our show. I know that.
Oh, could be 4:35 on Friday afternoon of the third week. Yeah, it'd be great for Spencer. Bad for us, bad for Todd, great for Spencer. 319-366-1600 at 315. Seth Wallace, the brand new assistant head coach of the University of Iowa football program. Yeah, 0835, I agree with you to a certain point that this means Wallace is being considered for head coaching job elsewhere, and this is getting him primed. Could be elsewhere, could be in Iowa City, anywhere in between, anywhere in between. Seth Wallace is a good coach, good young football coach, and they are a hot commodity at any time, especially in this day and age in 2024. Also, news, sad news coming out of Iowa City, Mark, and a passing of a Hawkeye legend, a family legend, if you will, that is a name anyway that is synonymous with Iowa football. We learned about their passing today.
Yeah, Jerry Hilgenberg has passed at the age of 92. He was an All-America at Iowa and never played in the NFL because he also was drafted into the service. And when he came back, he was an assistant coach at Iowa, the last remaining member of those Rose Bowl teams of 58 and 60, and he was the last remaining assistant from those teams. And his sons, Joel, Jay, and Jim, also snapped a lot of balls at Iowa, and some in the NFL, and his brother Wally, his younger brother Wally, who has died as well. His son Eric also played at Iowa. So I think it's 19 varsity letters that the Hilgenbergs accumulated. It's one of the top names in Iowa football history.
Yeah, he will be missed, passing away at the age of 92. And, yeah, Wally Hilgenberg did have a great career in the National Football League with the Minnesota Vikings. Sons of Jerry, I know one of them playing for your beloved Chicago Bears for quite a while. And, yeah, maybe the Stoopses, the Hilgenbergs, there are a couple others, but those are two of the top family names going down the lineage of Iowa football.
Ferences is another.
317, speaking of the University of Iowa last night, the Hawkeye basketball team, I got to say, it did not look good for the first 3 minutes, Mark, as Minnesota came out with their hair on fire last night and looked like they were going to take it to the Hawkeyes. But then, tell you what, Fran McCaffrey remained cool and calm on the sideline on the raised floor at Williams Arena, watched Iowa take the halftime lead, and watched the Hawkeyes eventually pull away to an 86-77 victory over the Golden Gophers. Fran McCaffrey becoming the winningest coach in Iowa basketball history with his 272nd victory, passing the legendary Dr. Tom Davis, who had 271. Iowa played shorthanded. They did not have Patrick McCaffrey last night. Again, Josh Dix with a supremely good performance, 21 points, a brand new career high. Ben Cricke was doing his over the noon hour YMCA old man game stuff yesterday. I say that tongue in cheek, and I say that very affectionately. He had 25 last night to help lead the Hawkeyes, and it was just a solid all around performance by Iowa after the first 4 or 5 minutes.
Yeah, it was, and a lesson in not getting too caught up with big leads early in the game. Iowa dominated in the paint in addition to Josh Dix performing extremely well. Iowa 56-38 over Minnesota in the paint. Dix has put together two fine games, and I think he probably deserves to start going forward, but really he's a hybrid guard, much as Perkins is. Perkins is, you know, capable of running the point. Brock Harding certainly is. Desante Bowen certainly is. But Dix has given him another dimension. It was a game in which Peyton Sanford was relatively quiet. Perkins offensively was kind of quiet, 13 points, 5 assists. I guess that's not really quiet, but it paled in comparison to what Dix did and Cricky did. And three in a row for the Hawks, and the reward is what, Scott?
Number 2, Purdue on Saturday. Iowa now back to 3-3 in Big Ten play, and 0983 on the text line. I know it's only a couple games, but do you think come February Josh Dix is going to be the guy? He's looking great now that he's fully healthy, and that's the big thing. We talked about it a couple years ago, Mark, when he was a senior down at Council Bluffs Abe Lincoln, when he had that just horrific injury. I think it was late January he had for the Lynx down there. Missed the rest of the season for Council Bluffs Lincoln and did come back last year, but he just didn't have that burst. He was still hurt. He's fully healthy now. And this is the Josh Dix that Fran McCaffrey envisioned him to be. Is he going to score 20 every game? No, he's not going to score 20. Don't expect him to do that. But with a lot of defenses concentrating on Peyton Sanford right now, Josh Dix hitting outside shots and even the mid-range jumpers is going to take a lot of double teams away from Peyton Sanford, and it's going to open up. It's going to allow Sanford to get open more with more people concentrating on Josh Dix. And it's also going to help Ben Cricky. It's going to help Perkins to get in the lane. And I think you saw that. It helped the Iowa running game yesterday. There were some clinic fast break runs by Iowa yesterday where the ball did not touch the floor more than once or twice. Sometimes not even at all. That was the way you draw it up if you're Fran McCaffrey, like I said, for the final 35 minutes of that game last night.
Classic Fran McCaffrey, and I think we all knew Dix could shoot from the outside, but I thought he did some great work inside, penetrating, getting some rebounds, putbacks, whatnot, distributing to other players, the pass to Cricky that Cricky tipped in. Among others, but a very well-rounded game. And, you know, that fast break that you described is exactly Fran McCaffrey basketball. And I, for one, am not interested in debating the, you know, best coach in Iowa basketball history. Fran surpassed Tom coaching 44 more games than Davis did. Now, you can throw that out there. You can play the statistical game all you want. How many Final Fours? How many championships? Whatnot. I think Fran has not achieved some of that, but I think he plays an exciting brand of basketball for the most part. And I think I read a text from Todd's show earlier this morning. Someone say, well, at least he's not Todd Licklider.
Very true. Very true. Is he?
He got choked up last night.
He did. He did. A lot of people with a lot of good things to say about Fran on social networking, and I think that was very refreshing to see after all the Fran bashing over the years. I'm with you. I don't know if Fran is the quote-unquote best and greatest coach that Iowa basketball has ever had. I mean, you go back to the Ralph Miller six-pack era. I was really, really young at that point. Bucky O'Connor, of course, Lute Olson, if he would have spent more time at Iowa before going off to Arizona, what would his legacy have been? Say what you will about George Raveling. Did he win as much as others? No, but boy, that guy could recruit, and he set up Dr. Tom Davis's early years of success for the Iowa Hawkeyes, bringing in B.J. Armstrong and Roy Marble and Ed Horton and that bunch of guys right there. It's a tough one. It's a tough one, certainly. Fran, I think, is a terrific coach, X's and O's guy. He knows what he's doing on the offensive end. That is his strength. He tries to outscore you. Are his teams ever going to give up 52 points a game? No. That's just not the way Fran is. 319-366-1600 here on the gym class program on KGYM 2723. Fran's a darn good recruiter and talent evaluator. And also agrees with me, Tom Davis inherited the best team in history. You can take that into account. Well, one of the best teams in history. This six-pack team was pretty good, Mark.
Yeah, and Ralph Miller only coached half as long at Iowa, less than half the time that Davis and McCaffrey have been there. And, yeah, that 69-70 team was historic. Davis's team that nearly made the Final Four in 87, what was it, eight players that played professional basketball?
Yep.
And most of them, if not all, recruited by George Raveling. And that was a heck of an outfit as well. I wasn't around when Bucky O'Connor and some of the others were coaching, Pops Harrison. I have no idea, but it was a different era, different time. Those guys were successful as well in their own right. My memory really goes back to Sharm Sherman, maybe, Ralph Miller, for sure. But Iowa's been pretty fortunate, by and large, save Licklider and Alford, to have some pretty good basketball coaches in Davis and McCaffrey for quite some time.
319-366-1600, your thoughts welcome on the text line. Again, 319-366-1600. Iowa moves up in the net rankings. They are up to 48 now as of this morning. And the Hawkeyes 3-3. You take away Wisconsin's 5-0. Iowa is now one game behind the pack. And as you mentioned, next game is Zach Edey and the Purdue Boilermakers, a return matchup against Purdue. Remember, Purdue is 1-2 on the road. I am not calling for an upset, and we will get to the Emil's Hideaway pick six. And if I was calling for an upset, you could say, well, Scott, look at your record, and I would agree with you as far as that is concerned. But Purdue's gettable. You're going to give up a lot of points to Edey. I mean, Dawson Garcia had 30 of Minnesota's 38 paint points last night. I know, I think he stepped out and hit one long-range jumper. Other than that, he was getting into the paint and being very successful at that. You give Edey maybe even his 30 and try to clamp down on those outside guards and the outside shooters and Gillis and the rest of those guys, and maybe you got a chance on Saturday afternoon.
Well, Iowa needs to stay out of foul trouble. They can't afford to have Owen Freeman fouling out. And as good as the minutes were for Dembele, he had four fouls. And you're probably going to have that against Edey. The strategy, I think, is going to be interesting, who you throw at him. And sometimes it just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter whether it's a zone, man-to-man, what have you. But Purdue has been gettable. Losing on the road a couple times, as you outlined. I'm glad you mentioned Dawson Garcia. He was impressive.
He's a good player.
30 points, 12 out of 15 from the free throw line for a big guy. He was really, really good.
Minnesota, give Ben Johnson a lot of credit, too. That is a much improved team from last year. They brought in a couple guys, the little point guard out of Howard, who leads the nation in assists. He really helps them offensively. A little bit of a liability defensively because he is so small. But, if Dawson Garcia hangs around, that's a Minnesota program that's going to be back in the upper echelon of the Big Ten Conference very soon, in my opinion. They're 3-3 right now, are the Gophers. 319-366-1600. What I would like to see on Saturday afternoon is a large crowd and a boisterous crowd for Iowa men's basketball, not only to thank Fran McCaffrey for breaking the record, the win record, but listen, number one, number two, whatever they are this week for Purdue, Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock, you're not going to have a better scenario to have a full house and a loud crowd at Carver-Hawkeye Arena. Am I wrong?
Not really. The weather's going to cooperate. The time is favorable. The opponent is one of the best in the country. Yeah, I'd agree with you. No time like the present there.
I would agree. 3:30 on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. We're going to shift gears, talk a little wrestling, high school wrestling. By the way, kind of a notable debut last night, Mark, on the wrestling mat. And I stayed with that thing last night until the bitter end because I thought that we might see a newcomer at the heavyweight spot. And sure enough, we did see a newcomer last night. And the debut, the long-awaited debut of Ben Keeter on the mat last night for the Hawkeyes.
Mats didn't get over a second too soon for Ben Keeter, I don't think. He did come away with a 5-3 victory over a wrestler from Minnesota ranked in the top 30. It was a good match. And Keeter certainly demonstrated his skills, but I don't think it's only 2 weeks after football. And to be in wrestling shape, I think it's a big ask for anybody. But I think the crowd enjoyed his debut. Bradley Hill's been pretty serviceable at heavyweight. He's not going to win a national championship. I don't know that Keeter will either because he's going to be undersized. He's not going to be outskilled. I know that. But, yeah, I stayed with it just for that very reason because Zach Glazier wrapped things up. Tough loss for Frantic. We'll talk more about that tomorrow with Mark Ironside.
Yep. We'll talk about the Nebraska meet, and we'll talk about the Minnesota meet coming up with Mark tomorrow. Iowa State also with a big win over the weekend against Utah Valley State, as we'll talk college wrestling coming up tomorrow. And we will do that on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class. But we need to get to Mark with an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It's brought to you by the good folks at Emil's Hideaway, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, and Jamie and Chris and Dave and everybody over there. As you mentioned, a lot of them good Chiefs fans over there at Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast, right across from the Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot. What do we got today?
Yeah, actually, Nate and Chris are Tampa Bay fans, and Nate was in Tampa last night for that victory over Philadelphia.
Yeah, it was a great Super Bowl when the Chiefs and the Buccaneers got together.
Speaking of that game, Jason Kelce, apparently his last, the Philadelphia center and brother of Travis, going to end his career 13 seasons with a Super Bowl and 7 times All-Pro. Eric Aull, the Iowa tight end, injured this year, has made an announcement that he will enter the NFL draft. Talia Tagovailoa, I always stumble over that last name, the Maryland quarterback, was set to transfer, but the NCAA has denied him a waiver for an additional year, and he will be heading to the NFL. And this just in, I believe, Ohio State has reached agreement with Ross Bjork of Texas A&M to be its new athletic director.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. Moving up from the Southeast Conference to the Big Ten. Good move. I guess it is. I mean, it is the Ohio State University, right? And Texas A&M is, you know, right down there with the University of Texas, just up the interstate. So, yeah, I think a pretty good move. I think a pretty good move right there. 3:34, we're going to take a break, come back. We're going to talk some wrestling with you here on the show. Tony Hager from IowaWrestle.com is going to join us. And we will do that when we come back. You're listening to a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class right here on 1600 ESPN, Eastern Iowa's home for sports, KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. And there's going to be plenty of sunshine today, but it's still going to be very cold. Temperatures may manage to break out above zero just briefly. Wind chills will remain around negative 20 throughout the day, though. And with breezy conditions, that may lead to blowing snow in open areas. We are going to have clear skies tonight. Temperatures drop down to a low around negative 7. Wind chills will be down around negative 20. And then tomorrow, we'll have a mix of sun and clouds with temperatures in the teens and wind chills finally getting above zero. That's your latest weather first forecast.
Hey, remember when we were having conversations without words like inflation, recession? Yeah, I miss those days too. So at Quickstar, we're feeling a bit nostalgic. So we've lowered the prices on all our take-home meals. Every day, not on second Tuesdays or every Good Friday. Every day, make your next meal a trip down savings lane with chicken, bacon, mac and cheese, just $4.99. Or spaghetti and meatballs, $5.99. Quickstar, we got mealtime savings nostalgia covered.
It's the snowy season. Are you ready? You are with Waddell's Lawn Care because now they offer snow removal. Waddell's Lawn Care and Snow Removal creates a safe, inviting environment for your customers or family. Their skills and equipment deliver exceptional results with every snowfall. Enjoy peace of mind this winter with clear sidewalks, driveways, and parking lots at surprisingly affordable prices. Schedule your business or home service with Waddell's Lawn Care and Snow Removal now at 319-654-6057. 319-654-6057.
Life's better when you're under our roof because our agents can help you choose insurance to help protect what matters most. Life insurance from American Family Life Insurance Company can help financially protect your loved ones by replacing a portion of your income if you were to pass away. That means your family could have the help they need to continue to pursue their dreams.
Contact Kirk Gustafson, agent at 1715 Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids, or call 319-363-7214 today.
Products not available in all states. American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
American Family Insurance.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym. 3:37, back with you here on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here on 1600 ESPN. Thanks for joining us. Do appreciate it. The rundown for later on in the week, as Mark mentioned, Mark Ironside will join us coming up tomorrow to talk collegiate wrestling, and looking forward to that. Lot to get to as far as that situation is concerned. Then on Thursday, the coach, Kevin Lehman, will join us, and then on Friday we will have our next chance for you to win a $30 gift card with the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6 here. And Mark, we do have a winner with the Pick 6, correct?
We do indeed. Tiebreaker Dave wins again. He's uncanny at this stuff. Three of us finished 3-3, Scott at 2-4. But Dave won the tiebreaker, which was the Dallas-Green Bay point total. It ended up to be 80. And Dave nudged Spencer by 1 point.
3-3s, and I had a 2-4, correct?
Correct.
This is the worst I've ever picked games. I am the defending champion of this little extravaganza.
Well, right now, you're mired in last. So
I don't think I'm getting out of last either. So I apologize.
Concentrate on the rusty nails and we'll be fine.
I apologize to everyone out there that has had to pick me or maybe just settled for me in the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6. So we're going to try to get a hold of Tony coming up here in just a couple of moments. Again, 319-366-1600. I know that there is a possibility he might be on babysitting duty again today. So with a lot of schools still out at this time, I've been trying to get in touch with him throughout the day, but no dice on that. And you've been trying to get in touch with him. No dice yet for you,
yeah,
Andrew.
Yeah, no, I've called a couple times and it's gone. I've let it ring and ring till voicemail, and I'm like, well, we've tried.
Leave a message.
I can do that.
Try
next
again.
Time.
Leave a message. Tell him in the next 10 minutes if he calls in, we're good.
Yeah.
We're golden. How's that?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. We do have a lot to discuss. Now, the NFL playoffs are set for the divisional round, Mark. As last night, you mentioned Jason Kelce's final game as a Philadelphia Eagle. It looks and sounds like that is the case. As the the Philadelphia Eagles are 10-1 after their win at Arrowhead against the Kansas City Chiefs. And then the whole thing just evaporated into a dark hole, black hole of oblivion as far as football. Just did not even look like the same team down the stretch, and certainly did not last night, although you give Tristan Wirfs and Tampa Bay a lot of credit last night.
Yeah, Baker Mayfield led that team, and yeah, it looked like Philadelphia, the whole team had retired, at least for the season, 32-9. It was on the road. I get that, but the question I want to ask you is how comfortable do you feel seeing your Chiefs go to Buffalo this weekend?
Oh, not – no. Are you kidding? this thing's going to come to a sudden halt, I have a feeling. First road playoff game in the Patrick Mahomes era for Kansas City. So I do not feel confident at all about that.
Buffalo, was on the outside looking in for the longest of times and now playing among the best in football. And, you know, if I had to say right now, I can't discount the Packers. I'm sorry. And the Packers go to San Francisco. The 49ers a big favorite, but the way Green Bay won last weekend, playing very, very good football. Going to San Francisco, a different story. Tampa Bay with that big win last night has to go to Detroit. So, I don't know. There'll be an upset among the four, I know that.
I think you're right. I think you're right. I know you're right on that. Just can't seeing it go completely chalk on that. Your thoughts about the NFL divisional round and what happened over the weekend, including last night? Let us know at 319-366-1600 as we have a little time to talk some NFL with you here today. And the NFC East, yeah, Dallas and Philadelphia, we're looking at you, friends, as for the second time in NFL history, and I believe the second time since 2021, two teams from the same division going into the playoffs never led 1 minute and were both beaten in the first round. It's happened twice this weekend, and I believe in 2021, and it's happened with the NFC East twice. Don't worry. Don't worry, football fans. Don't worry, America. You will still get the NFC East 48 times on primetime football next year to enjoy those Commanders games, those Giants games, as well as the Cowboys and the Eagles. Were they overrated, Mark?
The Eagles?
The NFC East.
Well, it turns out they were, at least in the postseason.
And the NFC North was underrated.
Yeah, with two teams remaining and Minnesota and Chicago building. Minnesota not so much building, but Chicago building. I think the North is going to be kind of formidable going forward. And Green Bay, I mean, the youngest team in the league. Chicago's second youngest team in the league. Detroit is loaded up with outstanding draft picks. Hutchinson and Campbell among them. I mean, I guess we shouldn't be surprised those teams are where they're at. But I think people need to stop talking about Belichick going to Dallas or Philadelphia. Or I know he interviewed in Atlanta.
He did.
Whether that's a serious situation or not, I don't know. I think Philadelphia might need to move on from Sirianni, but I don't think the Cowboys will make a move with McCarthy. I could be wrong.
You never know with Jerry Jones what he's got in his back pocket. He's going to do everything he can. The Cowboys' door is still ajar. It is still open. They can still make a run. We may have seen the end of the Philadelphia Eagle run last night. I know they've got a lot of young guys sprinkled in there defensively, a lot of Georgia Bulldogs, but I believe I read 14 free agents that are going into their free agent or are coming off their free agent season this year for the Philadelphia Eagles. It could be a really different looking Philadelphia team besides Jalen Hurts for next year. Keep that in mind. He's going to be around, but he was not at 100%. I don't think he ran the ball enough over the last month plus of the season. It just did not look like the same Philadelphia team. As I mentioned, a lot of people saying that Sirianni, karma got him back after all the comments in the tunnel after the victory at Arrowhead against the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't discount karma, and I don't believe in karma. So, hey, play that for what it is. But man alive, Eagles just did not come out there.
No, and I mean, you can't replace Taylor Swift's brother-in-law either.
No, you can't. Well, they tried with the Nebraska center, and that did not go well.
Jason Kelce has had a Hall of Fame career, in my opinion. He's been the rock of that offensive line, which, you know, through 11 games was really good. As you outlined, 10-1 and then 1-6 down the stretch. I don't know where it all came apart. I really don't. But when it came apart, it was really unraveled.
It really did. And you mentioned the divisional games, and there's going to be an upset. You're looking at the Packers. You're looking at the Packers over the four.
Well, sort of.
Curious to hear what our listeners have to say out there. Andrew, do you foresee an upset among those four coming up this weekend? We'll have all those games for you right here on 1600 ESPN, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're probably likely there is one. Who it's going to be, I don't know.
I don't see Houston beating Baltimore.
So then you think that one's going to go fine?
I think Baltimore is in good shape.
So you think Packers might have the upset?
I think the Packers are going to give everything they can and want to the San Francisco 49ers, but I don't know if the Packers can do it 2 weeks in a row.
I've not been paying attention to the Packers at all, so actually any of the four teams, so I can't say a whole lot on any of it.
Good for you, Andrew.
Will the Chiefs win at Buffalo? I don't believe so, but I'm a negative guy, and I'm an ardent Chiefs fan, so I don't think that's going to happen myself. So that leaves Detroit and Tampa. Whew.
I got nothing.
That would be my guess, I guess. Tampa's playing good ball right now. Buccaneers, yeah, the record is not glossy, but they're getting it done, and they looked very stellar last night. Now, granted, that was at home against Eagles team that was sputtering, certainly coming in. Detroit's, boy, 1-point victory over the L.A. Rams at home, coming off that high of winning their first playoff game at home in 3 decades. Can they keep it going? Can that crowd will them to another victory? A very, very loose Baker Mayfield coming in there for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Keep in mind, the Achilles heel of that Detroit Lion team is the secondary. And what does Tampa Bay have? Really good wide receivers. I'm going out and I'm saying my best shot at an upset is Tampa Bay over Detroit.
I think that's a good analysis. I'm always interested to see what the teams that had the week off, how they look. San Francisco and Baltimore. And I think the 49ers benefited getting McCaffrey and others a little more healthy. Baltimore's defense is terrific, but Cleveland's was as well. And look how Houston took it apart behind C.J. Stroud. I'm not saying we're calling for a Houston upset, but I think Detroit tends to play a lot of close games, and Tampa Bay could – and don't discount your Chiefs, okay? Don't discount your Chiefs.
Don't discount them. All right, I won't. 9663 says, you know, Lamar Jackson always has bad playoff games. That's somewhat true. He has struggled in the past in the playoffs. So there is that. There is that. Coming up on 350, we're going to get ready for a break here on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here on 1600 ESPN. Want to remind you, coming up before that, that Fran McCaffrey does meet with the media, and we will have his thoughts with Coach's Cuts through the basketball season as well. It's brought to you by Network Computer Solutions, online at NCSEI.com. So look for that, and we'll come back. We'll talk a little basketball. The Iowa women in action tonight at home in Big Ten play, and we'll talk about that when we return on the Gym Class after this here on 1600 ESPN.
It's a mystery where Old Spice finds its amazing scents like Himalayan sea salt, but I'm thrilled they have because no other body wash exfoliates and moisturizes 24/7 like Old Spice Gentleman's Himalayan Sea Salt Body Wash. Now, if only there was a mountain range separating the Indian subcontinent from the Tibetan Plateau where I could hide my Old Spice and keep my family from stealing it, my impossibly smooth skin will finally be safe.
TaxAct knows you don't look forward to taxes. TaxAct doesn't even look forward to taxes, and TaxAct is a tax software company. It's basically TaxAct's whole thing. If TaxAct did things over, maybe TaxAct would end up teaching kindergarten or leading fly fishing tours. But that's a different story for a different ad. So why don't we just agree that taxes aren't fun, but you still have to do them? TaxAct's filing software can help you do that. TaxAct. Let's get them over with.
Texting enrolls you in a recurring automated marketing text messages. Consent are required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Nothing but net.
Good shots. Man, I miss playing basketball. Being young with unlimited energy to burn. Ever since I turned 40, I just can't find that fire I used to have.
Think it could be lower testosterone?
What do you mean?
All guys lose their edge when they turn 40. The body has less testosterone. That's why I take Nugenix Total T.
I've heard about Nugenix. That really works?
Since I started taking Nugenix, I'm lifting like when we played for Coach Carter. I feel more energized at work. It's even spiced up things between me and the missus.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try?
Yep, send a text. It's that easy.
Text BEACH to 231-231 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T. It's the number one selling testosterone boosting brand at GNC and Walmart. Do it now and they'll also send you a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, their newest, most powerful fat burner ever. Absolutely free. Text BEACH to 231-231. That's BEACH to 231-231.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, did you know there's a generic form of Viagra that works just the same but is 95% cheaper? And you can get it online? Just go to hims.com/joy. Through Hims, you'll get a free medical consultation, discreet shipping if prescribed, a 100% online process, and trusted generic alternatives to the name brands. Add up to 95% off. That's right. Get generic for Viagra, the same active ingredient as brand name Viagra, but for 95% less. It's the same medication, still prescribed by a licensed medical provider, but with zero copay, no expensive appointments, and no awkward face-to-face conversations. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy for your free online visit, hims.com/joy.
Back with you at 3:53 to wrap things up here on the Gym Class for a Tuesday. Spencer on sports coming your way next. That will be from 4 until 6. And then we've got Cyclone basketball for you tonight as Iowa State on the road in Provo, Utah to take on the BYU Cougars in a... they're all big, Big 12 games, and that will be at 7 o'clock tonight with an 8 o'clock tip-off. Iowa State, 9 in the net, BYU, 5 in the net, both teams 13-3. That should be a dandy tonight.
Yeah, it really should. The next two games for Iowa State on the road before coming back to Hilton Coliseum to face K-State and Kansas and on and on and on in the Big 12. And it's just it's one night after another. And we'll see. I think Iowa State's equipped to hang with BYU, if not win. But it's a tough assignment, no doubt.
This is a different atmosphere than BYU football.
Yeah.
This is nasty. They're very nice. Iowa State fans are very complimentary of the BYU people at the football game. It's nastier in the basketball arena for BYU. I'm just saying that. It's not going to be mean or anything like that. It's just a ask Gonzaga how tough it is to go into Provo and win. They didn't do it very often in the West Coast Conference. That's going to be a major test tonight for Iowa State. They can win. They can win, but it will be a test tonight. The Iowa women at home tonight. 8 o'clock start. If you kept your Peacock after the Chiefs game, 23 million of you or so of you and your friends watched the Chiefs and the Dolphins on Saturday night. Well, Peacock has the Iowa women taking on Wisconsin tonight. That will be an 8 o'clock game. Wisconsin trying to get their program back up and running as far as the upper half of the Big Ten. They have been down for many, many years. But this should be a W, but you never take anything for granted in college basketball.
No, you don't, especially coming after that big victory over Indiana. But let's face it, it should be a breeze for the Iowa women tonight. Caitlin Clark will move up another rung, at least on the ladder of all-time leading scorers in women's basketball. So, and I noticed they've opened up 100 parking spots. Cool.
good. And it'll help. It'll help. So Iowa and Wisconsin coming up tonight. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Iowa State and BYU game. That will be tomorrow on the program. Mark Ironside will join us. We'll take a look back at the weekend in college wrestling, not only from the Hawkeye standpoint, from others' standpoint as well. Iowa with wins over Nebraska and Minnesota to discuss. And also the debut of Ben Keeter last night, who did get the win, as you mentioned a little bit earlier on. Looked a little gassed at the end. Can't blame the guy. Probably the most he has wrestled in a long, long, long time, including the high school ranks and whatnot. Speaking of high school, big game tonight. Dubuque Senior and Kennedy, unbeaten's going at it. Really looking forward to calling that one coming up tonight. Basically one versus two. The only two undefeated teams in 4A left go at it tonight, so that should be fun.
Should be a great one. And as far as wrestling goes, we'll try to hook up next week with Tony Hager. There are wrestling is back in action. We had the Jayhawk last night, postponed from Saturday. And I know Clyde Bean and Ed Winger and many others on tap for the weekend.
Yep. Looking forward to those coming up this weekend. Have a good night, Mark. We'll talk tomorrow.
Sounds great. Talk then.
You've been listening to The Gym Class right here on 1600 ESPN. Stay tuned. Spencer on Sports comes your way next from 4 o'clock until 6. Have a great night, everybody.
To avoid digital threats, turn on NordVPN. It's trusted by millions of users. Just visit NordVPN.com, one of the fastest VPNs.